the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, February 15th, 2017, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is Bad News on the Horizon. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne today. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you've yet to do. We ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit have your way here today and go through the airwaves around the world, bringing the word that you have prepared and ordained for your children to hear by way of your Holy Spirit, dear Lord God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for taking our place upon the cross of Calvary. And today, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. We command in the name of Jesus Christ that every foul spirit, every hindering spirit, every spirit of disruption be bound this very hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command that it be done. We plead the blood of Jesus against you, and we call it done in the mighty name of the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, who is none other than Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open our show for today, our first piece was written by Mr. Stephen Stanford of Live Free or Die for All News Pipeline, dated February 14th, 2017. This piece touches on some of what we have been covering in the past couple of weeks and includes some new points of interest that we have not yet explored. The title and the subtitle of this are a warning of its own, in which is Experts Warn Biblical Event Awaits Us with the Death of Cash Forthcoming. And people, institutions, governments, and nations passing away into oblivion. While globalists continue pushing for World War III with Russia, despite President Trump in office. Of which Mr. Stanford thusly begins by the sharing of this startling revelation. According to a news story from Russia Today that the Drudge Report linked to this morning, the death of cash and the total government control of all of our spending may be just around the corner. Remember, my friends, the Lord God's mandate for the year of 2017 is that it is the year of the dawning of the cashless society. And we are seeing it begin to appear everywhere. Meanwhile, back at Mr. Stanford's article, he states that the Russia Today report is as well warning us that the time is coming when Americans won't even be able to buy a cup of coffee without being traced. He then goes on to say investment guru Jim Rogers also recently warned, quote, we're about to have the worst economic problems in a lifetime, along with this shocker, and a lot of people will disappear, of which Mr. Stanford states are just the latest signs that we are getting that the globalists are preparing to bring down the economy on President Donald Trump's watch. He says, just imagine the potential chaos that could be unleashed if such a worst-case scenario unfolds. As the Prepper Fortress reports in their news story, imagine no banks, no public facilities, no food, and rampaging gangs of desperate people. Because that's what experts warn we will likely get in a total collapse scenario. Mr. Stanford further states that in Rogers' recent viral interview with Macro Voices, he touches on numerous subjects, including two, he says, that we consider to be the most important for Americans living in a free nation, which is, are we moving away from a free society, and is there war on the horizon? Mr. Stanford goes on to point out something very important when he further states another topic that Roger touched upon that actually ties into both of these subjects was his view on the movement to a cashless society, where everything we do is tracked and monitored, making the central grid we see unfolding in America today look like nothing in comparison. Mr. Stanford goes on to say, and as InfoWars just reported in a brand new story, according to a George Soros insider, banks and desperate globalists across the planet are now in a mad push to end cash in a bid to usher in global governance and with it global tyranny, or shall we say, my friends, global dictatorship, meaning the Antichrist. That's how close we are, my friends. Only the Lord knows the day or the hour. Mr. Stanford continues by sharing that the story from Zero Hedge, reporting on Roger's interview, tells us why his warnings are ringing out far and loud across the internet and the country. Moving forward, Mr. Stanford says, we also take a look below at the latest globalist push towards World War III with Russia, something that many of us, he says, had believed might be avoided with Trump voted into office. At this point, he further interjects, as has long been warned, quote, when all else fails, they bring us to war. Moving forward, he shares a quote when he states first from Zero Hedge, quote, get prepared, warns billionaire commodity guru Jim Rogers, because we're going to have the worst economic problems in your lifetime, and a lot of people are going to disappear. Mr. Stanford goes on to say in this wide-ranging interview with Macro Voices, Eric Townsend, the investing legend, discusses everything from whether Russia is being scapegoated. Yes, ask Victoria Nuland. The war against cash. Governments love it. They want to control everything. To his views on gold and the demise of freedom. At this point, Mr. Stanford returns to Mr. Rogers' warning of get prepared because we're going to have the worst economic problems we've had in your lifetime or my lifetime. And when that happens, a lot of people are going to disappear. As Mr. Rogers continues speaking, he reminds us that in 2008, Bear Stearns disappeared. He points out that Bear Stearns had been around for over 90 years. He as well mentions that Lehman Brothers disappeared. And once again, he shares that Lehman Brothers had been around for over 150 years. a long, long time, a long, glorious history. They've been through wars, depressions, civil wars. They've been through everything, he said, and yet they disappear. Mr. Rogers points out, so the next time around, it's going to be the worst. It's going to be worse than anything we've seen. And a lot of institutions, people, companies, certainly, he says, governments, and maybe even countries are going to disappear. He further interjects, I hope you get very worried when you start having bear markets. As you, I'm sure, well know, one bad thing happens and another bad thing happens, and these things snowball just like in bull markets. Good news comes out and more good news comes out, and the next thing you know, you're 5 or 6 or 7 years into a bull market. Mr. Rogers says, well, bear markets do the same thing, and so we have a lot of bad news on the horizon. I haven't even gotten to war, he says. I haven't even gotten to trade war or anything like that. But you know, things do go wrong. Mr. Stanford at this point states, Rogers doesn't mince words. And as we mentioned previously, it has long been warned, when all else fails, they bring us to war. Despite, he says, the optimism expressed by many that a devastating World War III with Russia would be averted with President Donald Trump now in office, it's clear by the recent events outlined below that war could indeed still be ahead of us if those who love death and war in the U.S. Congress and spy communities now opposing Trump have their way. Mr. Stanford continues by sharing, according to this recent story from Yahoo News, recently linked to by Drudge Report, senior Russian lawmakers believe that an anti-Russia push is being made within Washington, D.C.'s inner circle that helped lead to the forced resignation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. And that very real effort was made to undermine the U.S.-Russia relations under President Trump, going so far as to imply that Trump either isn't in complete control in Washington, D.C., or that he's being backed into a corner. We all need to remember how high tensions were between the two nuclear-armed superpowers prior to Trump being voted into office. The globalists were clearly on a mad rush towards World War III and nuclear annihilation, and even Russian President Putin had warned, quote, if it's Hillary, it's war. Mr. Stanford as well points out that Drudge also linked to this story from InfoWars, within which they report that Russian insiders are very concerned that the establishment will have, listen up, my friends, Trump assassinated. A horrifying possibility that could instantly launch the U.S. into the kind of situation our very worst nightmares, that could lead to war on U.S. soil, if experts are correct, he says. Mr. Stanford further states, with the globalists attempting to ratchet up tensions with Russia every step of the way, we weren't surprised to learn a short time ago that a Russian spy ship was spotted today, February 14th, 2017, approximately 70 miles off of the east coast of America. And my friends, just as a breaking news update from this morning, February 15th, 2017, that so-called spy ship, as it turns out, must be a warship, because the news this morning said that it is boarding surface-to-air missiles and is now just a mere 30 miles off the shore and off the coast of Connecticut. Mr. Stanford asks, why would a Russian spy ship be so close to the U.S.? Just before going on to say, as this new story from The Hill also reports, Russia has also just deployed a banned cruise missile, in violation, listen up, my friends, of a 1987 nuclear forces treaty. Mr. Stanford then asks, is Russia also feeling backed into a corner with recent moves being made in Washington, D.C. that are seemingly pushing all of the world towards war? He further states, as The Hill reports, tensions are continuing to be ratcheted up at a time that we all had prayed they'd be ratcheted down. Mr. Stanford ends his piece, my friends, with the introduction of a video that he has listed at the end of his report, in which he states is discussing all of the signs we have been getting in the past few weeks alone about the coming Mark of the Beast and the cashless society that our globalist overlords have been pushing us towards in their bid to take down free humanity, leaving their boot stamping upon our human faces forever. With that said, my friends, on that very informative and interesting note, and thought-provoking note too, my friends, I'll be right back after the break to share an update and other interesting breaking news concerning Israel.
When we're all alone. have waited for the Lord, they shall renew, they shall renew their strength.
Okay, my friends. Hey, you know what? I told you that last week that this week today there would be a meeting between President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, and that is taking place or has already completed taking place here today. This morning at noon Eastern time, they had a conference, and we'll go into that a little bit later. And you know, the consensus last week was that we thought that there might be this possibility that they could come out and both agree on a two-state solution. And God, at this point, is the only one who knows, unless they've already had another news conference since I've been on my way here to do the show, and you know more than I do at this moment. The fact is we don't really know what they're going to come out and say here today, because things have just gotten a little bit more interesting. And on that note, my friends, I'm going to bring an article that I had prepared this morning, and it just kind of flows into what's been going on all day here. And it's called, it's titled, Netanyahu and Trump to Spar Over Two-State Solution, because I'm sure that's not dead by any means. It's been going on for years. This was dated February 15th. Early this morning, it was brought out by the Jerusalem Post, Michael Wilner and Tova Lazaroff, who are here in the United States doing a report on what's taking place with the Prime Minister and the President. So they gave an update, a conglomerated update this morning about 2 a.m., and here it is. So we'll go from there and just keep going forward to what the Lord gave me after this article during the time that I watched the noon press conference between President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So, with no further ado, this is a piece that the writers start by saying, speaking with reporters on Tuesday, Press Secretary Sean Spicer and Trump said Trump plans to emphasize his interest in reaching a comprehensive agreement that would end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. My friends, you need to dwell on that for a moment, because there's, like I said, some very, very interesting things that we've never been made aware of till today that are beginning to happen. So things are really heating up. The writers go on to say, in moving forward, a comment out of Washington, of which states U.S. President Donald Trump's month-long review of U.S. policy on Middle East peace will come to a head on Wednesday in the Oval Office, where he will host Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in person for the first time. The meeting is a political test for Netanyahu, who arrived in Washington on Tuesday hoping to jumpstart relations with a new president amenable to his politics after enduring 8 fractious years of tension with his predecessor, Barack Obama. But to the surprise of many in Israel, Trump has undergone an evolution in his first days as president, from a distant observer of the historic conflict to an active participant, anxious, listen, my friends, anxious to broker peace. Now interested in fostering a genuine and diplomatic process between Israelis and Palestinians, Trump is expected to focus his conversation with Netanyahu on how to get negotiations back on track, according to his senior policy advisors. Netanyahu landed on Monday night with his senior staff and was scheduled to have dinner with Rex Tillerson, Trump's newly appointed Secretary of State, on Tuesday night. Netanyahu will then take up meetings and lunch on Wednesday at the White House before traveling to Capitol Hill for discussions with House and Senate leaders. Speaking with reporters on Tuesday, Press Secretary Sean Spicer said Trump plans to emphasize his interest, listen up, my friends, listen very closely, his interest in reaching a comprehensive agreement that would end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The way forward, he said, towards that goal will also be discussed. So it's kind of open at that point, Spicer said. The two will also discuss threats to stability in the Middle East, including Iran's regional activities, the spread of Islamic State, and the war in Syria. Netanyahu is hoping to secure assurance from Trump that Israel can build within the settlement blocks that it plans to retain in any final status agreement with the Palestinians. He is also hoping that Trump will make good on the White House statement that Israeli settlement activity is not a stumbling block to the peace and reject, therefore, the Palestinians' demand that halting Jewish building over the pre-1967 lines is a precondition to the resumption of direct negotiations. But, says the writers, while Trump is expected to dismiss the no-tolerance policy towards settlement activity that the Obama administration held, it is unclear how much leeway he will give Netanyahu on the issue of continued settlement construction. Keep that thought in mind, my friends, because I have an answer somewhat for you in just a moment. It is further noted by the Jerusalem Post writers that Netanyahu flew to the U.S. amid calls by right-wing members of his government to annex part of, if not all of, Area C of the West Bank, otherwise known as Judea and Samaria. The right-wing ministers and politicians have rejected Netanyahu's settlement block plan, claiming that what is needed is Jewish building in all of Judea and Samaria without any distractions. The writers go on to say that Netanyahu did not address the complicated issues surrounding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict when he landed at Andrews Air Force Base or when he left Ben Gurion Airport earlier in the day. He focused instead on the global U.S.-Israeli relationship and the strong ties that he has with Trump, who he has known since the 1980s, telling reporters that he believed their Wednesday meeting, listen up, my friends, would be a positive one. As a sign of the warm feelings between the two men, Netanyahu is staying at the presidential guest quarters, Blair House, and arrived there by motorcade immediately after landing. He spent time there on Monday night and Tuesday in consultations with his advisors for his meeting with Trump, including Ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer. Netanyahu is hopeful that Wednesday's meeting in the White House, the first since Trump's inauguration, will place Israel and the U.S. on the same page on integral issues such as Iran, Syria, and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Iran and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict had been persistent sources of tension between Netanyahu and former President Barack Obama. The J Post writers as well share that on Sunday, Netanyahu told the weekly government meeting that the security issues were his top priority, but members of his party and the coalition's right flank, the Bayat Yahudi Party, have focused on the Israeli-Palestinian issue, arguing that now is the right time to redefine the conflict, which is a very interesting statement. Some 12 Likud ministers and parliamentarians called on him to introduce the idea of annexation into the meeting. Right-wing politicians have also called on Netanyahu to renounce the idea of a Palestinian state and to push for U.S. acceptance of Israel's right to build anywhere in Area C of the West Bank, which at present is under Israeli military and civilian rule. My friends, the writer of this piece concludes by making a very interesting, in light of the press conference which took place today at 12 noon Eastern Time, February 15th, 2017, when they stated that Netanyahu has already privately told ministers that he plans to stand by his support for a two-state solution. The writers of this piece end by sharing that on the tarmac at Ben Gurion Airport, he, Prime Minister Netanyahu, suggested to reporters if they wanted to know what his stance was on a Palestinian state, they should follow him in Washington this week. Okay, my friends. In light of the noon press conference today, February 15, 2017, between President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, so far a foreboding and ominous pause has been set in motion. What I mean is that first, when a head of state and our president meet, they usually do not engage in a press conference until after they have had their meetings, which was not so today. It was the other way around, and I'm sure they'll have a wrap-up press conference as well. So it's just a little God thing to think about. Why was it allowed, and what was it for? Second, it was stated by President Trump during the conference that he, my friends, I took this word for word. You can go home and just say press conference of arrival of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Trump, and you can see it all for yourself. But here is what took place in a small portion that was very important and pointed out to me by the Lord. Second, it was stated by President Trump during the conference that he was not informed that Prime Minister Netanyahu, during his question answering to the press that were present at the conference, was planning to openly discuss, as Prime Minister Netanyahu put it, quote, our new found Arab partners, who are apparently, my friends, open to the pursuit of so-called peace in general, and at the same time, a so-called peace with the Palestinians. You could just tell that President Trump was not exactly thrilled upon hearing this point of view mentioned in such a setting, by way of his facial expressions and gestures. And he goes on to kind of make that known when his reply is, quote, we have been discussing that, and it is something that is, listen up, my friends, very different and has not been discussed before. And it's actually a much bigger deal, a much more important deal, in a sense, says President Trump. It would take in many, many countries, he said, and it would cover a very large territory. So, I did not know that you were going to be mentioning that, But now that you have, I think that it is a terrific thing. And I think we have some pretty, listen up, my friends, good cooperation from people in the past that would have never, ever have even thought about doing this. So we will see how that works out. And that we will, my friends, and that we will. For the word of God speaks of a time that is shortly to come in Psalms 83 concerning Israel and her neighbors that goes like this. Keep not silent. Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make atonement, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no more, may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom. My friends, Edom is modern day Jordan. And the Ishmaelites of Moab. Moab lines the banks of the Dead Sea on the southern part of Israel. And the Hagarenes, Jebel, and Ammon, which is another part of modern day Jordan. And Amalek and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Esher also is joined with them. They have Hoplin, the children, or helped the children of Lot, Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to the Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kesson, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Orb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Oh, my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded or confused, my friends, and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that man may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. My friends, right there is a depiction of a war that is coming with Israel. And what they described here today would be setting that in place. Their suddenly newfound Arab partners would include places like Jordan and Lebanon and Saudi Arabia, my friends, because Saudi Arabia would like to see Iran wiped out because they're enemies. Okay? So they have some, as they say, some skin in the game. So in fact, they will do whatever it takes to kill two birds with one stone, to annihilate Israel indirectly, and to take care of their enemy, which is Iran. And Russia is not their friend either, my friends. We are now as well approaching the time spoken of, found in Isaiah chapter 21, verses 11 through 17, that speaks of the destruction of Arabia. You know, our newfound Arab partners, of which account goes like this. The burden or the prophecy of Duma. He calleth unto me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye. Return, come. The burden upon Arabia. In the forest of Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Diadem, and the inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled, for they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. For thus has the Lord said unto me, Isaiah says, within a year, according to the years of a hireling, which is something people need to get on and start researching to see what the Bible considered a year of a hireling to be, because I wouldn't doubt that that mark in time begins this very day. Within a year, according to the years of a hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel has spoken it. My friends, Kedar is the second son of Ishmael, which is where Islam comes from, and all the way back to the very beginning of time, okay? So when the Lord tells you that the second son of Ishmael's land, which is Saudi Arabia and the area of Jordan, is going to be annihilated, and it will be because the Lord God of Israel has spoken it, you can be sure that it will happen. But many other things will happen in the meantime and along with it. So, my friends, in our last piece of the day, of which coincides with what I have been saying, that I believe that the Lord has shown me, and I know that he has, that President Trump has been sent by God as a modern-day King Cyrus and will play a huge role in the rebuilding of the Third Temple, let us see just what others are saying as well. In this piece posted by Prophecy News Watch newsletter dated February 13th, written by Enoch Lavender, titled Trump and the Third Temple, of which the writer opens by stating that the Jewish Temple Mount movement is excited over the recent election of Donald Trump. They know very well that, listen up, my friends, rebuilding the Jewish temple in today's world would be a dangerous and politically incorrect task. My friends, that will be only until one of these days, possibly President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu get together with their newly found Arab partners and decide that one of the ways that they can bring peace between the three so-called religions that inhabit Temple Mount, which when I say so-called is because first it's Islam with their big self up there, and then it's Judaism, which is the temple's been destroyed by God, so he wants people to come forward into the New Testament way of thinking, which is to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah, my friends. He doesn't want animal sacrifices anymore. He wants you to sacrifice yourself, spiritually speaking, to the Lord Jesus Christ and to live your life for him and be ready, watching, and waiting for his imminent return. And the other so-called religion would not be Christianity as it is always portrayed. It is Catholicism. So there's one outdated as far as God is concerned, except for those he has in hiding for the time that is still yet to come, religion. And there's two false religions inhabiting the Temple Mount. So with your newfound Arab partners, there is this possibility soon and very soon you will hear about the beginning of the building of the third temple, my friends, which has nothing to do with God, but everything to do with the Antichrist. The only thing it has to do with God is that it's in his word and he says it will happen. But the person who gets up in that temple will not be God. It will be the Antichrist who claims he's God. And it will be the time that the eyes of the Jewish people that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning till now, until then, their eyes will be opened because they all know this man is not God. And the Lord will begin to do a new work in them. He will put a heart of flesh in them instead of a heart of stone. And their spirits will be open unto the Lord God. And when they see Jesus coming in his second coming, not the rapture, but his second coming, they will look upon he whom they have pierced, and they will know it, and they will know it in their spirit that it is Jesus, the Messiah, the only Savior of all the world, because the Lord will open their eyes to whoever will receive it, to the fact that it is he who is coming in the second coming to now set up his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years, my friends, which those who received the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming then will play a huge part in for the next 1,000 years, along with us who will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, because our dispensation will be up and we will have glorified bodies and be forever with the Lord. Trump and the third temple, the writer goes on to say that the Jewish Temple Mount movement is excited over the recent election of Donald Trump, that they know very well that rebuilding the Jewish temple in today's world would be a dangerous and politically incorrect task. In their view, if there is any modern politician or a political leader with the guts and determination to stand behind such a project, it would be President Trump. Biblically, many Christians affirm that the Jewish temple will be rebuilt at some point in the end times, as I just described to you. Could President Trump's strong pro-Israel stand be the game changer which could help lay the groundwork, the writer says? What role would President Putin play in the mix? The Cyrus mandate, the writer says. A number of Christian leaders have been comparing Trump to the biblical King Cyrus. They point out that King Cyrus was a leader called and appointed by God. Despite the fact that this Persian king did not know the God of Israel, God appointed him by name with the mandate to fulfill God's divine purposes concerning the nation of Israel. President Trump, like King Cyrus, appears an unlikely champion for God's purposes. Despite the controversies swirling around him, Trump has, though, already taken action to realign America with important biblical values, such as pro-life, the writer says, as well as making an unusually firm stand alongside the nation of Israel. I want to stop there for a minute, because it was said this afternoon, when asked, do you prefer the two-state situation or the one-state situation, the press asked President Trump if he preferred one or the other, and he says, I want the one they like. The one they both like is what I prefer. The end. That's what he said. While the writer here goes on to say, while several Christian biblical teachers have pointed out similarities with Cyrus, few have raised the point that a primary part of Cyrus's divine calling was to order the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, of which I did bring up to you, my friends, when I brought it all to you in the beginning. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28, and Ezra chapter 1, verse 2. If President Trump really has a similar calling to King Cyrus, the writer says, could it be that God would use this real estate developer turned president to facilitate the greatest property development of modern time, the rebuilding of the temple? A letter from the Sanhedrin, key figures in Israel's Temple Mount movement certainly are optimistic that Trump's victory could be the catalyst needed to bring their dream to reality. Within days of the election victory, longtime Temple Mount advocate and now prominent member of the Israeli Knesset, Rabbi Yehuda Glick, issued a public call inviting Trump to visit the Temple Mount. This call was followed days later by an open letter from the reconvened Jewish Sanhedrin. The open letter addressed both Russian President Putin and the new U.S. President Trump, asking them both to fulfill the Cyrus mandate of enabling the rebuilding of the temple. Rabbi Hillel Weiss, who serves as spokesman for the Sanhedrin, explained that Donald Trump's rise to power had made the eternal Jewish dream a very real possibility. My friends, they've never said this any time else in history. This tells you here today, within the hearing of my voice, you need to get your life right with the Lord Jesus Christ, because soon he will be returning for those who belong to him. And a lot of this stuff will still be happening after we've been caught up with the Lord Jesus Christ to forever be with him. The writer goes on to say Trump's strong stand in support of the Jewish claim to Jerusalem and the West Bank, biblically known as Judea and Samaria, has led the Sanhedrin to the belief that he could also support full Israeli rights to the Temple Mount. Compared to President Trump, Russian President Vladimir Putin might seem like an even more unlikely Cyrus. Many would instead view him as a potential Gog, one of Israel's greatest end-time enemies. Now, I'll just give a little hint on that. I've brought that to you before, too, and it's not Russia, it's Turkey. The Sanhedrin, however, are basing their letter to Putin on unverified positive reports concerning Putin's attendance to the Temple Mount. Visiting the Western Wall in 2012, Putin allegedly disclosed that he was personally praying for the rebuilding of the temple. On this basis, the Sanhedrin decided to write to both Putin and Trump, inviting them both to fulfill the Cyrus mandate. The optimism of the Sanhedrin is palatable. Rabbi Weiss explains, we are poised to rebuild the temple. My friends, that is no small undertaking, because the Lord said when the temple is built that it's supposed to have all the original furniture and everything just like it was in the time that it was built in the first two times, which means that they've taken years, and you can even go to the Temple Institute in Israel and see all that they have done, making solid gold menorahs for the temple, doing the vestures that they wear, doing everything with the stones and the ephods and everything that the priest would wear for temple service has all been being taken care of year over year for more than 20 years. And he tells us now that they're poised. We are poised to rebuild the temple. That means they have every single thing else, except for maybe one or two things I can think of, which could come at any day, to build the temple, my friends. And it would have to come by way of God's will anyway, because it's not something you can go out and whip up. Okay? The potential conditions today in which the two most important national leaders in the world support the Jewish right to Jerusalem as their spiritual inheritance is historically unprecedented, they say. Cyrus, or the Antichrist. While the Sanhedrin is looking for a Cyrus-type figure to arise to help support the building of the temple, the third temple, many Christians tend to link the rebuilding of the temple not with a Cyrus, but rather with the Antichrist himself. The scriptures appear clear that the coming Antichrist will defile the temple. As I just told you a few moments ago, he will stand up finally in the middle of the temple and declare himself to be God, as the word of God says that he will. The scriptures appear clear that the coming Antichrist will defile the temple. But we shouldn't necessarily, and this is a good point, equate foreign leaders who facilitate the rebuilding with the coming Antichrist. Or should we, my friends? But just ahead, they do make a good case for the King Cyrus coming out on top and not as being the Antichrist. As I always say, only time will tell. In his day, the writer says, King Cyrus helped build a temple in Jerusalem at divine instruction, which was later defiled by Antiochus in 70 AD, my friends, and then frequented by Jesus the Messiah. This is what they're saying right out of Israel, my friends. Could it be that God will likewise in the end times raise up a new King Cyrus figure, that will help facilitate the rebuilding of the temple, which will later be defiled before the Messiah finally returns to take his rightful place. And they end by saying, Trump's got the numbers. Jewish leaders have pointed out that the gematria, of which, my friends, listen up very closely, is a satanic practice conducted within Kabbalah, which is a counterfeit version of biblical Judaism and is a way of looking at scriptures from a numerical value. They say Donald Trump's name equates that of the phrase Meshach ben David, Messiah, son of David. These same rabbis, the writer says, are quick to point out that they do not believe that Trump is the Messiah. And the writer says, just as well. My friends, we are living in a time like no other. Today is the day of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is on his way. Soon he will be returning for all of us who are watching, ready, waiting, praying for his imminent return in the rapture. My friends, it isn't the end of the world at the rapture. It's only the beginning of the time of great tribulation when the whole world as we know it today will be annihilated. And if you're in it, you're going with it. My friends, today is the day of salvation. The Lord says that he sent his one and only begotten son to pay the price for all mankind, to have their sins forgiven, that they may enter into eternal life. Please take advantage of that today, for tomorrow may be too late for you. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting with open arms to receive you. Let the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit prick your heart in this very hour and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Begin to walk a faithful walk with him by way of knowing God's word, knowing it well, and knowing it correctly for yourselves, because when you stand before God, you will not be there with any other person on the face of this planet. He will know you. He's known your end from the beginning. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. My friends, he knows every aspect of your life, and if you're not ready to meet him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, at his coming, you will be dealt with by the Spirit of God in the time of the final judgment, and you will be cast forever into the lake of fire, with which has been prepared for Satan and those who follow him. And with that said, my friends, today is the day of salvation. Please begin to examine God's word. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you out of all your sins. Don't pick and choose when you call upon him, because he doesn't work that way. He says there are many who will say, Lord, Lord, I did this and I did that. But he says also, they will not enter into my kingdom. because he knows who belongs to him and who does not. With that said, my friends, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your past sins. Begin to walk with him. Know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly, and allow the power and anointing of Holy Spirit, of God's Holy Spirit, to take over your life and bring you to the time of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you'll be ready, watching, and waiting as he lifts us up off this earth, spiritually speaking, to forever be with him. And with that said, my friends, it's a wrap. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?